There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad y'all are here. And yes, lots going on here and lots to do on today's show. And you interact pretty easily at 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. As we talked about last week on Friday, that was the 17th anniversary, 17th birthday for FM Talk 106.5. And the number's been the same ever since, 251-343-0106. Also, you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, a lot to talk about with what's getting ready to happen today up in Montgomery with a special session. And I tell you, over the weekend, my mind kept going back to that cut from Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. Branson Pocket, special, so special, was in my mind to talk about how special it is. Here's our buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
Special, so special. Got to have some of your attention. Okay, so last week at this time we talked, somebody had whispered in my ear that there was a special session coming. They had told me something about gaming, and he said, no. He said, if anything, it'd be redistricting, but then we talked about how it might work because of construction going on in Montgomery. So let's go back here, talk about what happened late last week and what's fixing to happen today.
Yeah, it's funny that we had that conversation because, they won't have a special session on that. But the one thing that happened that nobody expected was the Supreme Court ruled, right? Everybody was expecting this Louisiana case to maybe come in June, maybe even later. But, you know, it came last Wednesday. And so that kind of threw everything up in the air. Now, a couple important things to note about the case. It did not automatically impact Alabama's map. In fact, I mean, they made note in the ruling to say this does not impact the case that Alabama has. But it opens up the door, right? And so you're seeing a lot of other states. Tennessee's going there. Florida had already begun, but to go ahead and redraw maps. That's not what's happening in Alabama, though, because we continue to be under a court order from the federal court to not touch our maps again until 2030. That order has not gone away. But everybody right now is waiting. I haven't been online much today, but everybody's waiting to see if the Supreme Court overturns that order and more specifically allows the state to revert back to its originally passed 2023 maps, the ones that the legislature actually passed before the courts got involved. So that's what they're waiting on. And this special session is in anticipation of that. They're kind of betting on that. They're betting that the Supreme Court will make that decision, and therefore what they'll pass in the special session would essentially set new election dates for the districts that would be impacted. So it's kind of a long shot, to be honest with you. They're pretty confident, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it this way. But we still are waiting on the Supreme Court to see what they say.
Okay, so it kind of going with this, with the emergency order that was sent off to SCOTUS from Attorney General Marshall, that goes through that sitting. Is everything that they will do, and they gavel in 4 o'clock today, is everything they, even if they pass something and said, yes, we're going to do it, and the Supreme Court doesn't come back and say the injunction's over, is it all for naught? I mean, is this kabuki theater if that doesn't happen?
Yeah, it's all contingent on that. They're passing, like I said, special election dates. They actually, this legislation had already been introduced in the regular session, actually. I don't know why they kind of gave up on passing it, except that, I think nobody expected this to happen, right? But there was thought that, okay, if this decision comes down in June, maybe we should be ready. Well, it came down in May before the primary. And so, yeah, if the Supreme Court does not act, does not allow Alabama to revert to its previous maps, then it's all for naught. Now, I think politically there will be a lot of pressure on the governor to just go ahead and call a special session for redistricting. That could get interesting because, again, we're still under that court order, and, you know, a really good way to tick the court off is to ignore their orders. So I'm not sure that would be a very good decision, but just, you know, there'll be a lot of political pressure on the governor to do that. You know, nationally, you've seen it all online. There's just all this political pressure. You know, Kay Ivey's a traitor if she doesn't call a special.
Well, let's talk
kind of
about
stuff.
That. What happened, though? It was kind of quiet there, and then all of a sudden there was an opinion from, you know, a couple days into it, then it's like all of a sudden, you know, I heard that Trump called and all that, and all of a sudden the governor says, okay, we are going to call a special.
Oh, I'm sure it was coming from all fronts, but I don't think her original position ever changed. That was, the state is not in a position to have a special session for redistricting, and we're still not, and this isn't going to be a special session on redistricting. It's simply to prepare for the anticipated outcome that the courts will act. So, you know, I think she certainly met the moment in terms of responding to that pressure. There's no question that there was a lot of political pressure. I just don't know, I don't know if it's actually going to be successful. Nobody knows what the court's going to do. We can be confident all day long, but I don't think, I was on a radio show earlier this morning where they kind of pitted the attorney general against the governor and all, like, as if they're not on the same team, and that's just not true. It took them asking for that injunction. It took, you know, some legal means to make this happen, but her position hasn't changed, and it's the correct one. We can't just go and redraw maps when we're under a court order not to do that, and the election's already underway, right? I mean, the election, for all intents and purposes, is underway. People are voting already. That's going to be a headache regardless of what happens. If the court does come back and allow Alabama to revert to its original map, then it's still going to be a headache because people have already started voting, and that those will obviously end up in lawsuits. That's also a reason that the court may not choose to do this, right? Because the election is already started, ballots have been printed, absentee ballots have gone out, probably been voted already. That's a good reason for the court not to allow Alabama to do what it wants. So this in no way is a finished question by any means. But hopefully we'll know today. Most of the time when the court rules one week, the following Monday they come out with kind of accompanying orders, like orders related to that ruling. So that's what everybody's anticipating today. But unless I've missed it, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Okay. So, Todd, one of the things I'm thinking through here is, and help me, maybe you have a better insight. How much daylight is there between the Calais decision, Louisiana, and the situation in Alabama? And meaning that, would SCOTUS look at this and say, because some people who are, you know, not vested or not trained in this would go, well, they talked about this being unconstitutional. This sure seems a lot like the case in Alabama. Ergo, if it's wrong for Louisiana, it's going to be wrong for Alabama. How much daylight is in between that?
From my reading, none.
Okay, I mean, so it is just this injunction. If lifted, then we don't have that issue.
That's right. I mean, and that's the case that the Attorney General and the Secretary of State made in their filing on, I guess that was Friday or Thursday, was that, look, if, you know, if you apply, if that ruling, Calais, is now the law of the land, right, if it applies broadly, then it has to apply to Alabama, and you have to overturn what had previously been ruled for Alabama's map. The two can't coexist. So I think, yes, absolutely, it will, down the road at some point, allow Alabama to draw maps as it pleases.
So why wouldn't they do it now? That's what I'm wondering. What would be, what, why would SCOTUS not do it now if it ends up being...
That's the one reason I can come up with is that we're so far down the line with this election, right? Like the election's less than 2 weeks away, or I guess right at 2 weeks away. You know, we're already through the process. Ballots are printed, qualifying's over, all that. That's the reason I could see the court saying, okay, not yet. Like, go ahead and with this election, we'll revisit later. That's one reason, but I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how the court thinks.
I just wonder, I mean, if they slapped Alabama's hand for this, wouldn't you turn around and say, you know, we violated the injunction that y'all just in so many ways, in a circular way, said was not valid?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, and I think that's going to happen eventually. I would say the one thing going not in our favor is how far along we are in the election thing. The other thing, and I know you've talked to Representative Pringle about this, he was in the courtroom during Alabama's case, and he's always said, you know, we really didn't put our best foot forward in that case, that he had the impression that Alabama angered the court by sort of its arguments mm-hmm. and the way we went about it. So that's not great. But again, that's his opinion. I wasn't there. So I would say, yeah, that we don't have a terrific history there, and the election's already going. But look, everybody, it seems confident that this is going to happen. We just have to wait and see. But I would say this. I think there will be, let's just say the court does not rule, mm-hmm. and there's no, you know, relief for Alabama in that way. I do think there'll be a lot of calls for the governor to, well, let's just do it anyway. Let's go ahead and have a special session on redistricting. Let's draw some new maps and really really test it. They could do that, but I definitely think that would anger the court even further to ignore an existing order.
We've been angering the feds for a long time. It'd be nothing new out there if you're just joining us.
But probably unwise toward the goal.
Yes. Listen, we're talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal. Break this down for me, the mechanics of today. I mean, just like the geography, we got the new state house, we're building, they've closed down. Tell me from a, you know, person who's there in Montgomery, paint the picture for us here. Where are they gaveling in? They can't go into the Senate. What's happening?
Oh, no, it's all in working order. The only thing,
the voting really machines are still there. All the stuff is there.
Yeah, so they use voting machines in the House, mm-hmm. and those are still intact. In fact, I gave a tour last week where the kids used all the machines, so that's fine. The Senate is the only thing that's different because they started right after the end of the last session removing the desks, all those really nice wooden desks that senators use on the chamber floor. They've been dismantling them in preparation to move them across the street to the new building. And so it's going to look a little funny. I put a picture out on Twitter. Most of the desks are gone, and now they have these like folding tables, like you would see at a picnic or something. So the senators all sit around those desks. I mean, it'll be no different. In the Senate, it's all voice vote anyway. They don't use voting machines, and so it won't be any different. It'll just look a little silly. But the one thing I was wondering about going in as the question was emerging was whether the reading machine would be intact. You know, they use a machine to read the bills, mm-hmm. especially the really long bills, because any lawmaker can ask that the bill be read at length. Well, in redistricting, that can take like days because the bills are, you know, 1,000 pages long, and they're all, you know, based on this mile and that mile, and I mean it's just tedious. And so if they didn't have the machine to read that, man, I just don't know how they would get through it. I mean, they would, but they'd be here for a couple of weeks probably. But this isn't a redistricting bill. It's not. There's not going to be a redistricting bill. This, in fact, the bill will be probably a page or maybe two, and so that won't play. That won't come into effect. So, the old state house. I mean, everybody thought it had heard its last gavel when they ended last month. But here we go again. So it's ready. It's fine. It's just that the Senate's going to look a little silly.
Okay. And as we wrap up here, what does that mean for Capital Journal? Who, when they're in session. You know, when people know that y'all are on nightly, do you do the same for special session? What's your work schedule now?
Well, we're going to have a show tonight to get everything started, but we won't be on the air Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's only going to be like one or two bills, so it's just really not a whole lot to cover. But we'll be on tonight to kind of give everybody a primer for what's happening, including some conversations with top lawmakers. And, of course, we'll be back on Friday. Hopefully they'll having wrapped up the special by then. So Monday and Friday this week.
Okay, good stuff. Remind people about the email. And I know you've talked about some polling and stuff like that coming out too. But to get signed up, how do they do that?
That's right. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter right there at the top. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. And, yes, we just got done doing some polling of all the statewide races. Couldn't fit in AO1 because that's a whole different ballgame. But we've got the statewide races, some political questions, and those will start rolling out tomorrow. So a good time to have that paid insider subscription.
Absolutely, Todd. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. Goes Todd Stacey, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
I got it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:27 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this special session Monday. It's interesting. I told you last week when the SCOTUS ruling came out on, I think it was a Wednesday last week, and my phone, you know, a lot of people wanted to come on the show, and then they all kind of trickled away. And then by Friday, we saw what's happening here, and now hopefully we'll get those people back on as they'll be in Montgomery for the special session. Interesting what this could mean, right? And Todd Stacey playing, what does Jeff call him, the adult in the room? Todd, you know, trying to quell expectations, maybe. There's a lot of questions here, and a lot of people in my ear over the weekend how this could work, even with the people already having voted, right, with absentee, that it could be a process where the votes that aren't affected by any kind of redistricting would still go through in the primary, and then the votes would be held over or maybe re-voted in a primary next month or July that would deal with the redrawn districts. I mean, of course, it's going to be confusing. Absolutely. And you think about, too, if you're in one of these redrawn districts or ones that, you know, will go back to 2003 and you spent money, you know, advertising and spent your time out, you know, at the whatever Tater Festival or whatever you've been at, then those people are not going to be voting for you. So there's a lot of wrinkle in it. And you know what? We'll talk to one of the people that's going to be affected by this, because joining us here in just about 5 minutes or so, AL1 Congressman at one point, running to be AL1 Congressman again, Jerry Carl, is going to join us. So we'll talk to him about what this could mean for him, because he would be one of those people affected. And this pressure, too, the question of, you know, so President Trump obviously called Governor Ivey, said, make this happen, and that edged her to, you know, over the edge there, pushed grandma over the edge to call the special session, right? But then the other nuance is, Jeff was referencing during his show political influencers from around the country or whatever. I'll just say this, there's pressure from the president and others to go for 7 sure thing Republican districts. I think that's that somehow rhymes with go back to court. And I don't know if that's the right idea, but we'll see what comes of it. We'll talk to Jerry Carl when he joins us coming up in just a couple minutes right here on Midday Mobile.
News. I'm John Scott. The U.S. military says it has sunk six Iranian small boats.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text gets you through. And coming up here after 1 o'clock, 2, John Sledge joins me. We'll talk more about that. But right now, I mentioned in that last segment, what would it mean for people that have been campaigning in a district that may change its geography? Probably first on my list to think about is a candidate for AL1, former Congressman AL1, Jerry Carl, joins us now. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I want to get into, like, the mechanics of everything going on, but just, like, regular, you know, regular conversation. What does that mean, okay, like, if you're in a, like, if AL1 gets returned to 2003 lines or something like that, you spend a lot of time, you know, in the other parts of AL1 as it's drawn now. I mean, to the north and east here. I mean, you got to meet a lot of people, but they may not be people who will be voting come, you know.
Yeah, we've spent 9 months over in the Wiregrass campaigning. We've spent close to $400,000 in the Wiregrass advertising. We're in Wiregrass this morning. We left this morning Mobile, and we had a 9 o'clock in Dothan, and we're on our way back, and two guys stopped me at the service station and said, "Hey, you're the guy on the advertising." I started saying, "Yeah, I'm the guy burning the money up," but I appreciate them recognizing my face. But with that said, we've done a lot of work over in the Wiregrass. We feel good about where we're at, but we're all in a holding pattern here. If you want me to tell you what I think and what I know, I'll be more than glad to share that with you.
I do. So, I mean, people are trying to figure this out.
So I've talked to several members of the state legislature today, and most of them are on the way up to Montgomery, obviously. They open up at 4 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock they will get the bill given to them, and they'll be able to read the bill. And what the bill will do, the bill will tell them a qualifying period of time that will be given to the new districts. It will define the new districts with a map, and they are saying the 2030 map, which, if that's the case, that'll be Mobile, Baldwin, Cambia County, and Covington County. So there'll be four counties involved in District
2003
1,
map.
My district.
The 2003 map.
No, 2023.
23 map. Yeah, 2023 map. I'm sorry.
That's the one that got turned down.
Yeah.
But it will go back to that map because it's already been drawn. It's already been ran through the cycle. It doesn't have to have people's input because it's already been through that. So it will, in that, it'll be, they will figure out the qualifying time, figure out the time that the election will actually be. They will pull our race, the congressional race, out of May the 19th, and they will also pull two races out of North Alabama, which are state Senate races, because those are redistricted also. And then our race will be held in our primary will be held, a special primary, in June, July, or August, somewhere in that 60-day window there. We don't know yet. But everything is being hinged on what's coming out of the Supreme Court. There's still one more, we've got to get one more ruling out of the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. What we saw last week was actually a ruling on the Louisiana case, but it applies to the entire nation because you cannot draw base lines based on race when you're drawing up voting districts. So what they imposed against us when we filed ours was saying that we could not, that they disagreed with our lines and we could not, they were going to draw them themselves, which the courts did draw them. And that's what we're running in now. And we could not redraw them until 2030.
Mm-hmm. Next census.
So that's where we're at, in that we're saying, okay, so the ruling that came out last week supersedes this, so it gets thrown out. But we have to have Supreme Court to tell us that. And the governor and the powers to be must have a pretty good insight of what's coming, or they wouldn't be doing this in advance.
Yeah, you know,
so for right now, I encourage everybody to vote May the 19th, regardless of what happens. Please vote May the 19th. You got some, in this area, obviously you got a lot of county commissioners, you've got sheriff's races, you've got a lot of important races statewide, for that matter, in May 19th.
Yeah.
And we'll just see what happens to ours.
What about absentee? That's been a question. People that had already voted, and let's say this gets changed.
If it gets changed before the 19th, your absentee. Let's say you voted for me. Just rule this conversation. Your absentee will be not counted on my race. That will be counted on the other races.
Right, right.
So you're not losing those races. So
they would have to refile. So if they, so the way you understand it right now, somebody put in an absentee, they're going to take everything that's not affected by a redistrict, and they're going to count those votes. Then those people would vote again. Come, like you said, it could be June, July, or August.
Yes, and we should have a date by the end of the week, if not earlier. I'd say probably by late tomorrow, people will start talking dates. But again, we're still waiting on the Supreme Court. We were hoping to get it out today. We haven't seen anything today, and I'm sure you would know if it was.
But, right.
Every day will get us another day closer.
Yeah, you know, if you're just joining us, talking to Jerry Carl, candidate for AL1, and I wonder about the bigger scene here. I mean, I know you're focused on AL1. I get it. But this question is whether, if they went back in, you know, today at 4, if there's a move going forward to go back not only to the maps of where we were in the past, right, which would be 6 favorable Republican districts, 1 Democrat district, or there's a call from Washington. You see the stuff over the weekend I saw on social media, go for all 7. And I don't know if that's going to work or not. If they're, I mean, do you have a finger on the pulse?
I want them to go for all 7 too. I want to do a slam dunk. We're a Republican state. We're the majority, and we can voice that. Now the problem with going after 7, so I understand, if they redraw the 7th district, that has to be advertised. Now, is that a day? Is that a week? Or is that a month? I don't know. So they may, again, they know the rules. They know that they mean in the state. We're trying to go after 7. I understand the president's involved in this. I know Tommy Tuberville has certainly pushed and promoted this. We've expressed our opinion in this. This is something we have been working for when they were redrawn back in 20 for the 2024 election. We fought against it then, and we're still fighting against it now. Mobile and Baldwin County need to be one. There's no doubt about that. We have such common interests there that we do not need to be split apart.
I hollered about it when it happened. I hollered about it when it happened. And I did try to check myself and say, is it because this is the way it's always been? I was, you know, did it just make sense because that was the thing that was there? But it does. I mean, I know you talk about AL1 and AL2, and you can talk to people from all parts of the district. And yes, they farm in the Wiregrass, and yes, they farm here. And yes, there's military there, and there's military here. But there is a different vibe. It was, I told folks, I mean, when I was a freshman at the University of Alabama, I realized, you know, the differences, all these kids I met, in different parts of our state, we weren't all the same. And I think that's probably true in congressional districts.
Yeah, but they gerrymandered those districts so bad, Sean. My district, we have discovered that the south part of Mobile County is in the new district. We'll call it the new district, Barry Morris District. And the north part of Mobile County is in it. But everything in between central, which is the city of Mobile, it doesn't connect. So they literally jump over the city of Mobile, mm-hmm, for racial vote reasons, And so the South doesn't even connect with the north end of the county. So, you know, this is the type of stuff that's true gerrymandering. So we, you know, I've got some pushback and some people have been pretty negative on it. Well, you know, we're trying to get away from the race issue in this country, so I thought. But yet our politicians seem to be pulling us back into it with stuff just like this.
Well, and it also, I mean, it's this idea from VRA and to talk about communities and we are, which I think is great about our state, it's the idea that they would say, well, we're going to draw this district and this is going to be where black Alabamians is and this is where white, we are all everywhere, urban, country, suburban. This idea that they need to draw something based on, I think it's silly that, you know, race attached with you know, what party you vote for. But, I mean, this is, it's like we're living in the days of them constructing the VRA instead of living in 2026.
And that's what I'm getting at. The politicians want to pull us back down in it. That's all the Democrat Party has to sell right now is race. That's all they have to sell. And we as a Republican Party, I've had enough of it. I mean, every race that I've ran in and congressional races has been a different district. They've changed it in some way every time. I understand growth. Baldwin County is growing leaps and bounds. Mobile is growing. I understand growth and lines have to move a little bit. But where you literally skip district pieces of a county just to fill in, I mean, that is wrong. And, you know, we keep saying these things and nobody wants to listen to us. Finally, the Supreme Court has came out, made a hard ruling on this case in Louisiana, which affects not just it affects the entire Southeast. I don't think South Carolina is going to change theirs. And I'm told that I don't think Georgia is going to change theirs. But you got every other Southeast country, state that's taking a look at changing and going back to normal lines. If you look at Louisiana's map now, the road that winds up to the center of Louisiana is one district. The entire road from north to south is in one district. And it can't be 40 miles wide. So it's just crazy the way they've gerrymandered this stuff over the years. And it's they finally run up against the wall. So be as it may, I want to represent Mobile, Baldwin, Scambia, and Covington County. Everybody. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I'm going to represent you.
Now, as you kind of from behind the scenes here, what are you telling your staff right now? I mean, you said you're in the Wiregrass today, you're campaigning there, still moving on as drawn for AL1. But what are you telling staff? Are you changing anything? Are you going to start moving assets before this, whatever happens in Montgomery happens?
Yeah, so we can't move a thing until we hear from the Supreme Court. I mean, we're 2 weeks out from an election.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll leave everything in place. If we get word today, if we get word tomorrow from the Supreme Court, we dropped a couple of $100,000 over in the Wiregrass TV the other day. So, you know, obviously we'll pull that back or we'll stop the advertisement as quick as possible. That's the first thing that will happen. And then we can move that back. We'll regroup. We'll have time to regroup and get our butt back together and figure out what kind of campaign we can run. I mean, this gets even crazier, Sean. We can't even go back to the same people to raise money for this new campaign. So if somebody has maxed out and you've spent it in this new district and they change the district, we're being told we can't even go back and raise money on that.
So, and so even people
what you got is what you got.
And that's, you know, troublesome to think about the other side. I know you're thinking about it as a candidate, but think about someone who gave to you, for example. It's now drawn out of AL1. They're put into a reconstituted AL2, and they don't get to voice their support for whoever, you know, would be there for AL2 because they're maxed out.
But it's the way it should be, though. Wiregrass should have representation. Mobile should have representation. Can it be done? Of course it can be done, and it can be done right. We don't have to. We don't. But Wiregrass needs their representation, and Mobile, Baldwin County, or let's say Gulf Coast as a whole, needs their representation.
Okay, people want to get more information about the campaign, no matter where the lines end up being drawn. How do they find that?
Jerry, of Congress, and please, I would appreciate any help we can get. Go online, look us up on Facebook. Jared Farr for Congress, and I appreciate any support we can get.
Thanks for checking in with us, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Sean. Bye.
All right, there goes Jerry Carl from up in the Wiregrass, which may not be after they're done part of AL1 again. Y'all taking notes? All right, we'll revisit this when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Good time to check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And first of all, let's get an update on precious metals. We're looking at a buying day today. What you got?
We got silver eagles, silver bars, and we have 1 ounce all the way to 100 ounce silver bars available. There's all kinds of different silver items. You can get Star Wars coins, because I had quite a couple of people asking about the Star Wars stuff today because of May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And what else we got? But we got gold as well. The gold is down today, so I would recommend, you know, a couple of people came in looking for gold coins this morning.
Yeah, how fast does that happen? Like when people, you know, look at the precious metal prices going down and then they come into the shop. Is that day of, or is there a delay with y'all? How's that work?
It depends on the individual. The people that really keep up with it, they just get it done. You know, as soon as they see that tip of $5, $10, or on gold, if it's like a $70 to $100, they're in here. And there's some people that are, you know, by the time you hear it on TV or in the radio, they're usually about a week later, it can be too late.
Okay, so it's best to check and come on into the shop. And then let me talk about what's maybe even more important than global precious metals markets, and that's what happens Sunday. That would be Mother's Day if y'all aren't looking that on your calendar. You got some gifts for Mom for us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have the gold plated. It's a real rose that's been dipped in lacquer, so it's a forever rose, but they've gold plated them. And there's watches available, anything from collegiate watches to a brand, not to the Paris May that we carry, Hubert. And then there's also jewelry you could get, Mom, sterling silver, necklaces, rings, earrings, you know, there's different themes. So if your mom likes, you know, she's more towards the beach life, then we have, you know, different types of things like seashells or dolphins, for example, you know, different themes that you could go with for Mother's Day gift ideas.
Okay. Well, tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook or on our website, mobilebaycoins.com. You can also reach out to us via phone and talk to me personally. Phone number at the shop is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Anna.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And we will travel over to the market of ideas. Some kind of segue there. We're going to the text line at 251-343-0106. Fire Dog says, I get the privilege to be in Jerry Carl's district no matter how they redraw it. Go, Jerry, go. Then unnamed texter. Come on, y'all, give yourself a nickname. What does Congressman Carl think about the congressional Republicans caving in and not funding Border Patrol in the recent DHS funding bill? Well, I got to that one late. Sorry about that. Jim B., the real reason Jerry Carl doesn't like the way his current district is drawn is that he lost it. I disagree. I mean, I don't know what's in his mind, but he was right there with me. Jim, you remember my just complain train about the redrawn district, breaking up communities of interest, we always talk about like where, so you have a center of like Mobile and Baldwin County, right? Or the center of the urban. And then where do the people that aren't there look for like radio and TV, right? That kind of idea of what that community is, right? How they kind of what the that community is of information and news and what they think is important. And those things are not, shouldn't be drawn from state line to state line. I mean, AL1, yes, habitually I liked it because that's what I grew up with. but it made sense in so many ways. What we've done now has not. So I remember even back then, Jerry Carl saying this is, he agreed, these aren't a great, you know, it's not a great district. And I hope we go back to 2023. Tim says, I'll be glad when these elections are over. These ads that Doug Harwell keeps filling up my YouTube channel. Doug doesn't want me to really tell him what I think about the big money groups that are made, that are spearing Coach Glover. This is going to turn Harwell in the long run. This is going to hurt Harwell in the long run. He will lose many friends over this. All right, he will be on with us tomorrow at 1 as well. All right, Ella says, I feel we're living through a historical event, waiting on SCOTUS to make their decision. That's for sure. I think so as well. Hey, coming up, John Sledge next hour, plus your calls and text at 251-343-0106.